This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions.
We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast where we discuss cutting-edge science, the wisdom of the ages, lessons from pop culture, and our own experiences about how to be happier. This week, we'll talk about how to escape from zombie mode, and we'll talk to writer and marketing consultant Crystal Ellefson about an intriguing Know Yourself Better exercise. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and joining me today from LA is my sister Elizabeth Kraft, who will soon be joining me here in New York City in real life.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And yes, Gretch, I cannot wait to settle into your guest room for a few days.
Yes, we are very, very excited to have you.
Now, before we get going, we want to remind everybody about our book club book.
Yay!
It's Kate Bowler's new book, No Cure for Being Human.
Yes, we're excited to talk to Kate and to hear everybody's questions and insights and comments. So send them our way. Also, I wanted to let you know, I have a group of super fans. If you have signed up to be a super fan, I give you a gold star. If you would like to sign up, you can go to happiercast.com/superfan. I have a lot of exciting things coming up, especially if you join by October 31st. So please do join the super fans. I so appreciate the enthusiasm and support of this group. Plus, I wanted to give a gold star to everyone who wrote in about our merch. If you go to happiercast.com/shop, you can see what's there. And it has been really fun to hear what people have to say about it. So yes, Keep those comments coming. And Elizabeth, our Try This at Home tip is inspired by you. Mm-hmm. It is escape from zombie mode.
Yeah. So back in episode 342, I gave myself a demerit for falling into zombie mode after I had been working a lot and I found myself, instead of doing something restorative like reading a book or going on a hike, I was just sitting on the sofa playing games on my phone.
Well, clearly you are not alone in this impulse because so many listeners wrote us and told them about their version of zombie mode and how they managed to escape zombie mode when they found themselves in that state.
Yeah, and Gretch, before we launch into some of these great ideas, I should mention I actually had a revelation about my own zombie mode. And Happier in Hollywood, in the episode that comes out tomorrow, Sarah and I talk about it. What I realized is I have anxiety about whether or not Fantasy Island is going to get a season 2.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's causing part of my zombie mode. So I was attributing it to burnout from having been working a lot on season 1, but I actually think it has more to do with anxiety about a possible season 2 and waiting to hear the news. So,
well, I think that's a really important revelation because I think those are two very different states. They might lead you to the same behavior, but one is like the overwhelmed, drained, I can't do anything anymore. I just have to like be limp feeling. But then there's the uneasiness, unsettledness. My thoughts keep distracting me from whatever I'm trying to do because I'm worried about something in the future. I feel like those are both the kind of states that might make it hard to focus and do something restorative, but they're very different in how they make you feel and obviously why you're feeling that way. So
yes,
that feels like an important revelation.
Yes. No, I was like, oh, that's why I've been doing that. Anxiety.
Yeah. And uncertainty.
Yes.
Because the burnout feeling, there's not the uncertainty, but here you're facing uncertainty.
Oh, right. Fascinating.
So, anyway, I've been working on it, but luckily we also got good suggestions from our listeners.
Yes. However you get to zombie mode, these all sound like really great.
Yes.
Yes. Well, so many, many people mentioned nature and different ways of connecting with nature and even very minimal ways and easy ways of connecting with nature, like sort of if you couldn't ask more of yourself. Lisa wrote, I find that nature is very restorative and it doesn't take much to get a lot of benefit. When my husband was recovering from COVID long hauler syndrome, we learned that just sitting outside on our deck was helpful. Even if he was playing games on his phone or reading a book, being outside was better than being inside. Inside, he was a zombie, but outside, every time he looked up from the book or screen, he was surrounded by beauty. Green trees, flowers, the smell of the wind, scurrying squirrels, and bird songs. Even the tactile sensation of holding a rock or flower in your hand can be very grounding. Think worry stones. Take off your shoes and stand in the yard for a few minutes. It really doesn't take much.
Yeah, Gretchen, after you and I talked about Lisa's suggestion, I actually went outside and listened to a book on like a lounger because it's very nice here in LA. So that was nice. That was helpful. Yeah. Just feeling the breeze.
Right, right. Just being part of the natural world.
Now, Sarah says, my tip for fighting chronic zombie mode is to prioritize bedtime and getting enough sleep above everything else. For me, being well-rested is my foundation for wellness. When things feel out of line and I can't pull myself together, the least I can do is roll into bed as early as possible, right after dinner sometimes, and then use my bedtime alarm and bedtime mode on my phone to help me wind down for the night and get to sleep before I would normally even try to. Catching up on sleep means that then I'm a little more alert and energized when tempting apps start to pull me in.
Well, I 100% agree with this. I am like a sleep zealot.
Yes.
I feel like a good night's sleep goes so far. So I think this idea that you should just kind of get more sleep even than you think you need can be very powerful. I'll post some links in the show notes. We've done a lot of episodes that talk about sleep hacks and getting better sleep. So in case anybody would like that, I will post the links. Jessica wrote, as you said in the episode, you need something to recharge you enough to have the motivation to do something recharging. I feel like I enter into zombie mode in order to escape reality because it's all too heavy. I'm not sure if this will help others, but when I realize I'm a zombie, I will allow myself to act like I feel. In other words, when I get up off the couch, I act like a zombie, pouting, grumbling, slouching, and dragging my feet. I feel like a child whose mother has told them to get their butt off the couch and do their chores. Eventually, I'm brought back to reality because I feel so ridiculous that I can't help but laugh at myself. Sometimes it takes a while, but I think it's the laughter that makes me feel lighter and recharged. Well, that's a little bit of whimsy.
I love that one.
I love that.
Cheryl says, some reframing has helped me. While there are many more fulfilling, more fun, and more productive ways to spend downtime, I don't think I always have the capacity to do those things instead. So I've given myself permission to occasionally enter zombie mode as a form of rest, and not feeling guilty about it makes it more restful.
Well, that's just admitting, like, this is what I feel like doing right now.
Yes.
Well, that reminds me of a passage that I really like from Anthony Trollope's autobiography, where and Anthony Trollope was an extraordinarily prolific person, a prolific novelist, and then he did a lot of other things as well. And he wrote, about the card game Whist. The playing of Whist before dinner has become a habit with me. I have sometimes felt sore with myself for this persistency, feeling that I was making myself a slave to an amusement which has not, after all, very much to recommend it. I've often thought that I would break myself away from it and swear off. Now, as I think of it coolly, I do not know but that I have been right to cling to it. Like, if Anthony Trollope thinks it's okay, you know, he has to get a lot done.
Now, Kelly had a few suggestions for things that got her out of zombie mode. She says, go for a walk out my front door in whatever I'm already wearing, which I think is interesting because we always feel like we need to change, or I do.
Yes.
Wash one large item, cutting board, frying pan. Start a load of laundry. I do that. Consult a list. I keep a list of smallish tasks that could be put off until later. The big thing for when you get in zombie mode is to avoid all decisions. Picking a thing off an already vetted list is doable, but coming up with a whole useful idea is too hard. The other items are nearly always useful. Dishes and laundry are forever tasks. Sometimes you might get inspired by something you see while doing that.
But Elizabeth, as you've pondered this since you first identified it, have you had any other revelations in addition to the one you were talking about?
Well, you know what's interesting? After you and I spent a lot of time talking about zombie mode, I happened to go out with a group of moms from Jack's school. And I realized spending time with those who are friends, spending time with those friends, that really snapped me out of zombie mode more than anything else. It was just such a relief to socialize and not talk about work. And what I realized is being with them really taps into another one of my identities, which is mom and friend.
Yeah.
And it's not about Fantasy Island, basically.
Right. Season one or season two.
Yeah. And it's like I can relax because I've shed that other part of me and I can be like totally engaged and energized. So I came home from that kind of feeling like a new person.
Well, that is so interesting because research does suggest that the more identities you have, the more resilient you are. Because exactly that, even when if something's going wrong related to one identity or there's a lot of pressure or anxiety related to one identity, the other identities are give you a relief from that. And that's exactly what you experience. So that's a really good thing to know about zombie mode is maybe kick into a different identity altogether.
Yes. More time with friends. It's always a good thing. And it definitely helped me.
That's great. Well, let us know if you do try any of these suggestions at home or other ways that you've used to escape from zombie mode. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Or as always, you can go to the show notes. This is happiercast.com/345. And there you will find everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we have a happiness hack about how to let somebody off the hook graciously. But first, this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like what was your favorite toy as a little girl or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
Okay, it's time for a happiness hack, and this is a great idea that comes from Catherine.
She says, I've got a happiness hack about the right way to give someone an out when asking them for something. I used to think this was just common sense, but I recently mentioned it to my husband, a questioner, by the way, and it apparently blew his mind. So I thought maybe others would find it useful too. Here's the situation. When you're asking someone to do something, but you want them to actually feel free to say no, you of course want to give them an out. But there's a specific way to give them an out that will make them feel truly free to say no. Many people say something like, hey, I was just thinking, and I know this is probably a really wacky idea, so please feel free to say no, but what do you think about collaborating on this project? The problem, this does not give the person a convenient out. No kind person would ever reply, you know what, that does sound kind of wacky. I'm going to have to pass. Instead, a kind person will probably feel the need to reassure you that it's not a wacky idea. So now they're going to have to try to figure out how to tell you they don't want to work with you on this while also fielding your insecurity about asking them. A better way is to think of an actual real excuse they might give you. So you might say something like, I know you're already supervising several dissertations, so I completely understand if you don't have time to be an outside reader, but ... Or, I know this is outside your website's usual format, so this submission might not be the right fit, but ... Or something to that effect, depending on the situation. Here's a good rule of thumb. The excuse you give them must be 1, tangible, 2, possibly true, and 3, not self-deprecating. Anyway, thanks so much, as always, for your wonderful podcast. And I know you guys are very busy and get a ton of emails every day. So absolutely no worries if you don't have time to respond. And then she says, ahem, see what I did there? Ha ha. And then, hilariously, Gretchen, Catherine signs her name, and then under it says, Rebel, Moderator, Simplicity Lover, Underbuyer, and of late, Morning Lark.
That is so great. I love the way she, like, did it at the end to show us how it's done.
Yes.
Well, I just think this is great. This is so practical, and it's something that's like a nagging worry, but yes. You don't even think it through. And here's somebody who's kind of has a framework to just, like, this is how to frame it so that someone can really feel fine about saying no.
Yes. So yeah. Thank you, Catherine.
Yes. Thank you, Catherine. And now a Know Yourself Better question from Crystal Ellefson. Now, Crystal Ellefson is a poet, fiction writer, entrepreneur, and marketing consultant for authors. Her primary business since 2014 has been consulting for authors. I worked with Crystal for years. And it was a joy from beginning to end.
And yes, Gretch, I met Crystal in person for the first time at our very first live event, which was a meetup at the Cheesecake Factory in Marina Del Rey. And Crystal has taught both of us so much.
Yes, I will post a picture of the three of us at that Cheesecake Factory. Alyssa, that seems both like decades and decades ago, and also like it happened last month.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a great day. So, Crystal, it's so great to talk to you.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi, Liz. Hi, Gretchen. It's so fun to be here, especially after having been behind the scenes for so long. It's fun to be on the other side of the curtain.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Crystal, you often have so many insightful observations and suggestions, and now you have this really thought-provoking exercise that is a terrific Know Yourself Better question because it really does help us get insight into our own values, our own interests, our own aims. So tell us what this question is.
Okay. My Know Yourself Better question is, what are the 5 things you want to be known for? Now, I use this in my video course, Build Your Author Platform, as an exercise to help writers get clarity about how to present themselves online. But I think it's really useful for anyone to use. You could narrow it down to 1 segment of your life, for example. You could say, what are the 5 things I want to be known for at this company? Or what are the 5 things I want to be known for as a friend or a neighbor? I think there's lots of ways to really use it to just get clarity on 1 area of your life.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right, because it's easy to think like, I should be great at everything and not think about, well, really, what are my core strengths or my core interests and how do I bring that to the forefront?
Absolutely. You know, and so the way I suggest people do it is just start by brainstorming. Just brainstorm everything that comes to mind when you think, what do I want to be known for? Just make a big list, no filters, and then go back and look, and there might be some themes that, you know, are together. You might think about, oh, wow, actually, these 3 things are very similar. I could put it together. And your 5 things could be values or skills, you know, it might be the writing genre or, you know, specific type of business you have, personality traits, strengths, hobbies, interests, you know, I mean, it's very flexible, whatever those five things are for you. Of course, there's no wrong answers. And of course, rebels might want to make a list of five things I don't want to be known for.
Ooh. But this is interesting though, because I could imagine people could have like columns and columns and columns of things that are just all the different aspects of their nature, their personality, their interests. So it might be clarifying even just that first thing would be a really interesting exercise, even without getting to what are the top five.
Absolutely. You know, but I think especially for anyone who has a business or a public persona, whether an actor, a musician, or anything, there can be that pressure to be all things or to feel like you have to bring every part of your private life and make it public. But I think if you just pick, I'm going to focus on these five things, and maybe one of them is just a hobby that I love that isn't about my professional life, but, you know, it gives you some focus instead of what should I post on Instagram today? Or, you know, then you're like, these are the five things that I'm going to focus on people knowing me for.
Right.
It also seems like there is something potentially aspirational about it. It's like, well, if I want to be known for this, let me put energy in that place, you know?
Yes. But Crystal, are there things that you see over and over or that it's rare? Like, what are the patterns that you see as you see people go through this exercise?
Well, you know, some people make a really short and sweet list. For example, you know, Gretchen might put something like habits, happiness, human nature, five senses, and books. You know,
yeah.
But someone else might put things like each of their five things might be more in depth. So it might be, I'm a YA writer who focuses on characters who are neurodiverse, or, you know, so people do it totally different. And I think actually that's what's most interesting to me is that each person that I've seen who's gone through this exercise does it in their own way, whether it's a full sentence for each of the five things or just boom, one word. And, you know, obviously this can be an evolving list. It could just be, I'm going to focus on this for the next 6 months and see how that goes. And then you might realize, as you often do with your gold stars, that you realize, oh, actually, I didn't want to do that. You know, like putting it on the list makes you realize it is too aspirational. And actually, that isn't something I want to be known for.
Mm. Right. Or you realize that there's something that's not on the list that you really keep thinking like, oh, I keep wanting to talk about children's literature. Why isn't that on my list if I feel like it belongs there? Interesting.
Well, I know the more I put out what I'm interested in, the more what I'm interested in somehow becomes part of my life. So that's what I like. It just, that has a way of happening.
Absolutely.
Crystal, will you say what your five things are?
Sure.
Or is it like a private thing that is really just between you and a piece of paper? I could see this is very intimate in a way.
It could be intimate if you're doing it not as a public persona, but if you're doing it like this is what I want to be known for as a writer or for my business, then it should be things that aren't so intimate that you're not ready to share them publicly.
Yes.
So
they should be the very things you want to share publicly.
Exactly. Yes.
That's so true. It's the opposite of private.
Yes. So I actually put a photo of my five things on my Instagram. You can click through from Gretchen's account or go to consultingforauthors.com/happier to click and see it. And so I created this PDF and you can fill it out and go through this process. And so I picked the five things and then I kind of put little spokes on a wheel with different ideas related to those five things. Mm. And that can give you content ideas or just more clarity around those five things. So my first thing is I want to be known as a writer of poetry and fiction. And my second thing is just exploration with creativity and art as play.
Mm.
My third thing is related to my business, consulting for authors. So helping authors connect with their readers without feeling sleazy. So that's how I frame that. So it's not just author marketing, but it's about helping authors not feel sleazy in their marketing. And then being an entrepreneur, which is also maybe kind of aspirational. I mean, I have two businesses, but I have dreams of doing more. And then my fifth one is just a phrase that's very meaningful to me that kind of combines a lot of themes I'm interested in, which is you are not alone. So it kind of covers grief and forgiveness and just honest storytelling and vulnerability and brings all that together. So that's one that kind of just works for me.
Well, those all are things, Crystal, that I would very much associate with you. So that I get that.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, ideally, you would look at this and a person would be like, oh, that's a very good portrait of the person that I'm seeing, however I'm coming into contact with this person in real life or virtually. So, Crystal, if people want to get this worksheet and download it, where should they go?
Go to consultingforauthors.com/happier, and you can download the free PDF, no email required. And then you can also get a direct link if you're interested in the course with the promo code happier, you'll get 50% off.
And what is the course for people who are intrigued?
So it's called Build Your Author Platform, and it's an 8-lesson course designed to help you create a roadmap for authentic author marketing on the internet.
Fantastic.
Well, Elizabeth and I are very excited about this. We are getting together soon in New York City to do a lot of brainstorming and planning, and we're very, very excited about this because it feels like a very concrete thing. Because I would assume you could do it together as a team. Like maybe we'll do it independently and then compare notes and come up with like a team framework.
We love an action item, Gretchen.
We love an action item. We love a worksheet.
Absolutely. I mean, you could do one that's, you know, focused on the podcast. You could do one that's focused on each of you individually. You know, I think
yes.
it is just a great, I think all those brainstorming tools are so helpful to just get clarity.
Well, and I think I see an opportunity to use my fancy magic markers, Elizabeth. I may let you use my fancy markers because that's how much I love you.
I can't wait. I'm also thinking Sarah, my writing partner, and I should do this for show running. You know, what we want to be known for as showrunners. I mean, this just could be applied to anything.
Yes, because it's about clarity and self-knowledge. Yeah. Well, Crystal, it's such a delight to talk to you as always.
It's so fun to see both of your faces and hear your voices in person or live.
Yes, live if not in person.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you, Crystal.
Bye.
Coming up, I've got a gold star for my husband, but first this break.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Elizabeth, right this second, I am wearing my sweater from Quince. It's the Mongolian cashmere crewneck sweater in Everglade green. It feels so great, and it came in so many gorgeous colors. I love this green.
Yeah, Gretchen, I got the same sweater in white, and I absolutely love it. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Gretchen for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Gretchen to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Gretchen.
Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy for people or for dogs. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. The Farmer's Dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. My dog Barnaby loves the Farmer's Dog. When he sees me pulling one of those packets out, he comes running. It's personalized, vet-developed, and it has recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, and they're conveniently delivered on whatever schedule works for me.
Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/happier. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/happier.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Okay, Gretch, it is time for demerits and gold stars, and you are up this week with a happiness demerit.
Okay, listen, this is one of these exciting things where giving yourself a demerit works the minute you articulate it. Okay, so my demerit is that, okay, I have this office chair, which when we moved to this apartment, my mother-in-law had a really great chair. So I was like, I'm just going to get the chair that she has because I know I like it. I ordered this chair. I've had it ever since. And just randomly, whatever the material is, which is kind of like a fake leather, I don't even know what to call it, on the arms just started flaking off. And I never was picking at it. I don't know why it would have started to do that, but it started flaking off. And it's very visible, even like on Zoom, you can see it, because the padding underneath is bright yellow and the covering is black. So it really pops. So I took clear plastic tape and wrapped it to try to stop the flaking from spreading. But then it's just flaking off more and more. It's all over the floor. Now the tape is peeling off, so they're really unsightly. And my demerit was that I was just passively allowing this to happen. Like, oh, I guess now I just have this hideous chair. Like, what could a person do? And I thought, well, maybe there's something I could do if I identify the problem. And it was just like, well, am I just going to have to get a whole new chair? That seemed like an overreaction to a perfectly good office chair. And then I thought, why don't I use that magical answer to everything, which is Google?
Yes.
So I just Googled. I looked up the name, the brand name of the chair. I'm like, what do I do about the flaking? And it turns out I ordered these things. We'll see if it works. They're like these almost kind of like socks that you put over. They're like elasticized and you put them over your arm. See, I didn't realize this must be a very, very common problem because there was a lot of conversation about it and solutions. So in a way, it was like, okay, it's not my fault. This is a thing that happens. Why they haven't fixed this is puzzling. But there was a very, very inexpensive solution. And it seems that people find it to be a true solution. So I will report back. But I think that by articulating my demerit, I help myself identify the problem and potentially a solution.
That's
if you have
great.
Any other, if listeners, if you have any other solutions, let me know in case I need to go to plan B. I refuse to replace the whole chair. If anyone's curious about what my armrests look like, I'll post a link in the show notes.
Well, that's great, though. It's always so satisfying when there's something to do.
No, I kind of thought I was going to be unscrewing the arms and like mailing them in to some place, you know, to try to get them all recovered. So this would be a very good solution. How about you, Elizabeth? What is your gold star?
Well, Gretchen, my gold star is sort of related to your demerit. I am giving a gold star to Adam, my husband, for replacing all of the worn-out parts of Jack's trampoline. So we have in our living room a decent-sized trampoline. It's not like the big ones that people have in their outdoor, you know, backyard, but it's also not like a mini tramp. It's like in between.
No.
It's big enough to do a flip on.
It's a proper trampoline.
And Jack loves it, and he actually wore it out, okay? You might not think you can wear out a trampoline, especially indoors, but he did it. And Adam, like, I would have either said, well, that's it for the trampoline, because all the spring, it got dangerous. You know, the springs were falling out, and the net was torn, and the bars were not working, and all this. I would have either just thrown it out and ordered a new one, or just thrown it out. And been like, well, that's it for trampolines.
Right.
But Adam ordered, which I didn't even know you could do, new parts for all of the pieces that were no longer viable. And he laid it all out and he put together this new and improved redone trampoline, which I just, in a million years, I could not have accomplished that. But he did it. He did it on his own without complaining. Very timely also. And just as soon as he possibly could, he got it done. So I give him a big gold star because Jack's back in the trampoline jumping and very happy. And I was impressed.
That's a great gold star. And I also give a gold star to Jack for using it because a trampoline is the kind of thing where you think, oh, well, we'll get it. But then is it like my kids will use it three times and we never use it again? And it's sort of like you sort of debate, is this something that will really be used? But I mean, if you wear out your trampoline, I mean,
that's a lot.
My underbuyer self is very satisfied by
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Very satisfying.
Yes. It could be used no more.
Yes. So anyway, gold star to Adam for making Jack so happy.
Yes. The resources for this week. If you want to subscribe to the Happiness Project email list to get tips, tools, and insights for your own happiness project delivered to your inbox, you can go to happiercast.com/happinessprojectlist to sign up. That's different from my list, the five things making me happy. This is all very much specifically about doing a happiness project. Also, and you've heard us say this before, if you hear hosts like us ask listeners to rate and review the show, that is because listeners really respect the views of other listeners. And so rates and reviews really help, assuming you have good things to say, help people get interested and discover the show. And it's very easy to do once you know what to do. So if you want step-by-step instructions just to take you through it, go to GretchenRubin.com/podcast-subscription-instructions. Not the easiest URL. I will put the link in the show notes. That's podcast-subscription-instructions. It's about how to subscribe, follow, rate, review. And give yourself a gold star if you've already done it, because as we say, it really is a big help to the show.
Yes.
Elizabeth, what we're reading, what are you reading?
I am listening to Heads in Beds, a reckless memoir of hotels, hustles, and so-called hospitality by Jacob Tomsky. How about you?
Wow. And I am reading Between the Acts by Virginia Woolf, the last novel in my Summer of Virginia Woolf.
Good job, Gretch. You did it.
I'm getting close. And that is it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Escape from zombie mode. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our guest, Crystal Ellefson. You can visit consultingforauthors.com/happier. Thanks to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and everyone at Cadence 13. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Instagram @GretchenRubin, and I'm @LizCraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
And I won't say it here because I already said it. If you enjoy the show, please rate, review, and follow us.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Craft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward. But Elizabeth, my question about the trampoline is, like, Jack is already tall for his age. Like, is he going to get to the point where he just is going to be too tall to jump on the trampoline indoors?
Well, that's what we keep telling him, that when his head starts hitting the ceiling, then that's when it's going. So we're not there yet, but we're on a constant lookout for his head hitting the ceiling, because then we're going to turn that area of the living room into another seating area.
Oh, well, you want to kind of anticipate when that's going to happen.
Yes, before cracks his head, yes.
From the Onward Project.